Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 2. Main subjects, making room in our hearts for our leaders. Conflicts on the outside and fears within. God comforts the downcast. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Paul now had complete confidence in the Corinthians. Paul and his team started Messiah's community in Corinth, and Corinth was one of the most prominent cities in Greece. After being in Corinth for a year and a half, the rabbi left the city, having started a really important community in Corinth. After he left, the community started to fragment, to divide. Some of the people were supporting their favored leader, but criticizing, opposing, and undermining the other leaders, even great leaders like Paul. To address this problem and other problems, Paul and Sosthenes wrote the letter that is known as 1 Corinthians. After Timothy returned to Corinth, he informed Paul that the divisions in the community had gotten even worse. The group, the faction that was opposing Paul, was growing in influence. This motivated Paul to change his plans and visit the Corinthians immediately. But this visit to Corinth was a painful visit. The Lord's representative experienced more attacks from opponents within the community, while the rest of the community provided little support for Paul. Paul returned to Ephesus and wrote a severe letter to the Corinthians. And he sent that letter to them by Titus. The purpose of this severe letter was to communicate his love for the Corinthians, urge the people to repent, and demand the punishment of the leader of the opposition who opposed Paul. Desiring to know the Corinthians' response, the rabbi traveled to Troas and eventually to Macedonia in search of Titus, who had delivered that severe letter. When he found Titus, there was joy. The leader of the opposition had repented, and most of the Corinthians were now very favorable toward Paul. The crisis was over. Paul and Timothy wrote 2 Corinthians, the letter we're studying, in response. Now, even though the crisis in Corinth was over, damage had been done. Paul had been undermined, opposed, unfairly criticized. Seeds of doubt about him and his ministry had been planted. So in this letter, 2 Corinthians, Paul and Timothy addressed the criticisms. They defended Paul and his ministry. They taught Messiah's followers some glorious truths. They reassured the Corinthians of their love and commitment to them and asked for the love and the commitment of the Corinthians to them in return. Chapter 7, verse 2, make room for us in your hearts. Make room for us in your hearts. Of course, God's people must make room for God in their hearts, to have God at the center of their lives. It's also very important for God's people to have God-ordained leaders in their hearts, to have a good relationship, a close relationship with their spiritual leaders. Make room for us in your hearts. These two great Messianic Jewish leaders, Paul and Timothy, who are writing this letter, wanted Messiah's followers in Corinth to make room for them in their hearts, to put them in the very center of their lives and thoughts, to give them their love and devotion. It's a pretty bold request, don't you think? Make room for us in your hearts. They were able to make this bold request because Paul and Timothy knew they were worthy of the love and the commitment of the Corinthians. They knew that they had a lot to give to the Corinthians. They knew that if the Corinthians gave them their love and devotion, made room for them in their hearts, the Corinthians would be blessed. In contrast to spiritual leaders who are unworthy to be in the hearts of God's people, and there are spiritual leaders who are unworthy to be in the hearts of God's people, spiritual leaders who take advantage of those they lead, and there are spiritual leaders who take advantage of those they lead, leaders who corrupt the word of God and corrupt the people they should be helping, and there are leaders like that, Paul and Timothy could truthfully claim, we have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited, taken advantage of no one. They had been faithful to God, faithful to the word of God, faithful to those they ministered to. Paul and Timothy were indeed worthy of the love and devotion and loyalty and commitment of Messiah's community in Corinth. There were people who accused Paul and his co-workers, his team, of being corrupt and taking advantage of those they ministered to. Even though they defended themselves from these accusations of wronging others, corrupting others, exploiting others, the rabbi did not want the Corinthians to think he was accusing them of being among those who had accused him and his co-workers of these things. He writes, I do not say this to condemn you. Paul did not believe that the majority in Corinth had accused him of wronging others, corrupting others, exploiting others. In spite of the opposition and the lack of support Paul had experienced from them on his painful visit, he and his team members still loved the Corinthians. They were still totally committed to them. And Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. The Lord's representative made it clear that he and his team loved the Corinthians so much they were willing to spend their lives with them and for them, and they were even willing to die with them. That's love. That's devotion. That's commitment. That's loyalty. That is spiritual leadership that is worthy to be followed. How can God's people not want to make room in their hearts for leaders like that? Paul let them know he was speaking to them with great frankness. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. with great frankness, with boldness, with confidence, he was letting the Corinthians know he loved them and was committed to them. He was very proud of them. They were a source of great encouragement to him. When he and Timothy and those who served the Lord with them were experiencing troubles, and they experienced a lot of troubles, the knowledge that there was a community of Messiah's followers in the important city of Corinth who were knowledgeable and gifted and steadfast and unified in serving the Lord brought them great encouragement and a joy that knew no limits. That's a lot of joy. Paul gave them an example of the way they encouraged him. For when we came into Macedonia, and remember that was the trip to Macedonia that came after Paul's painful visit to Corinth, after he had returned to Ephesus and wrote that severe letter to the Corinthians and sent it to them by Titus. When we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Some people think that full-time ministry, like what I do, is easy. What a great gig. You read the Bible during the week, you prepare a little message, you give it on the weekend, you count the offering, you make the deposit. You heard me say that about a month ago. Some people think that's what full-time ministry is like. And for some people, their full-time ministry may be like that. It might be easy, but it wasn't for Paul and his co-workers. They experienced constant harassment. They experienced conflicts on the outside from those who opposed them who were part of Messiah's community, conflicts from the Jewish community who rejected Yeshua and the message about him, conflicts from the Gentiles who worshiped many gods and rejected the message about the three-in-one God and the way of salvation, conflicts from without and fears from within. Fears within themselves due to the many dangers they faced. Notice that it's not wrong to have fears. It's not wrong to be afraid. You are not a coward if you are afraid of real dangers. However, you are a coward if you allow your fears to prevent you from doing your duty. Paul and his team always did their duty. They fulfilled their responsibilities. The rabbi and his team were harassed at every turn. Everywhere they went, they experienced conflicts from without and fears from within. Yet they did not retreat. They did not quit. They pressed forward and fulfilled their responsibilities. They were able to do that because God comforted them. And he used the Corinthians as part of that comfort. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, the sad, the sorrowful, the depressed. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. In the midst of harassment, conflicts from without and fears from within, in spite of being downcast, sad, sorrowful, Paul found Titus, who had delivered his severe letter to the Corinthians. Titus reported that instead of experiencing a painful visit like Paul had experienced, the community in Corinth had given Titus a very warm reception. They responded in the right way to Paul's severe letter that Titus delivered to them. They had deep sorrow because they had not given Paul the unqualified support that he deserved. They now longed for Paul. They desired Paul to return to them. They were very concerned for his well-being. This news comforted Paul, lifted his spirit, gave him great joy. God comforts the downcast, and he uses us as part of that comforting. It's natural for people to want to avoid pain. However, Christians and Messianic Jews have the great advantage of knowing that hardships, trials, suffering, sadness, sorrow can be very beneficial if we respond in the right way. Even though Paul's severe letter caused the Corinthians sorrow, Paul did not regret causing them sorrow because they had responded in the right way with godly sorrow that led to repentance. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet, now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended. And so, you were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. There are two kinds of sorrow. One is good, one is bad. Godly sorrow is good because the person is genuinely sorry for doing bad things that offended God and hurt others. That kind of sorrow results in repentance, changed thinking, changed behavior, turning to God, turning away from sin. Godly sorrow leads to repentance and salvation, and that's a tremendous thing. The other kind of sorrow, worldly sorrow, is bad because it does not lead to repentance or to salvation. The person is sorry because his plans failed. He is sorry because he was caught and is suffering the consequences. If only he had planned better, if only he hadn't been caught, everything would be fine. That kind of godless sorrow, worldly sorrow that so many people have, leads to death. It is not productive. It is not useful. It is not beneficial. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, new seriousness of purpose, refocusing them on the right things. What eagerness to clear yourselves. They wanted to prove that they really had been supportive of Paul all along. What indignation, what alarm, that others might think they were cooperating with those who had opposed Paul. What longing, the desire to have Paul back with them. What concern, because they genuinely cared for Paul. What readiness to see justice done. They were ready to make everything right, to bring correction to those who had opposed Paul and brought division to the community. Paul's severe letter had the desired effect. It produced godly sorrow that led to repentance and salvation. It produced in them everything the apostle wanted. Those who are challenged that they have done something wrong usually respond by defending themselves and demonstrating that the charges against them aren't true. That's what Paul's challenging letter did for the Corinthians. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. The majority had not sided with those who opposed Paul. They had not been critical of the founding father of the community in Corinth, the one God used to start Messiah's community in Corinth. They had not lost their devotion to him. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. And that's exactly what Paul intended when he wrote that severe letter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted you are to us. By all this, we are encouraged. A community that is united, a community that is serving the Lord, a community in which people have good relationships with their spiritual leaders, encourages not only the leaders, but encourages, refreshes, and brings joy to others. That's what happened to Titus. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Some people think that all boasting is wrong. All bragging, all boasting, automatically wrong. That's not true, though. There is bad boasting, but there is also good boasting, appropriate kind of boasting. It's okay to boast about the accomplishments of others, especially those who are serving the Lord in an exemplary way. That's what Paul did. He had boasted to Titus that the Corinthians were a group like that they were united and serving the Lord and gifted and zealous. And the Corinthians proved to Titus that Paul's boast about them was true. I had boasted to Titus about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. Paul was always very careful with his words, something that we can learn a lesson from. Paul was very careful with his words. When he spoke to the Corinthians about God, about the Word of God, about the gospel of God, he spoke the truth. When he boasted to Titus about the Corinthians, that they loved the Lord, that they loved the Word of God, that they were gifted and knowledgeable and steadfast, that was true. Titus was able to confirm Paul's boasts about the Corinthians were true. When we don't respect those who deserve our respect, it can alienate them from us. When we respect those we should respect, it does the opposite. It creates affection in them for us. Titus worked with Paul. Paul had sent Titus to Messiah's followers in Corinth on an important mission. When Titus arrived, the Corinthians treated Titus with the respect that he deserved. That created additional affection in Titus for the Corinthians. Paul writes, and his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. When we respect those we should respect, it creates affection in them for us. The situation in Corinth was now back to what it should have been. Correction had been given, correction had been received and implemented. Paul, the Lord's representative, could now write, "I am glad I can have complete confidence in you." Having complete confidence in Messiah's people created joy in the Lord's representative. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. May the Lord so work that others can have complete confidence in his people who are part of Shema, that others may have complete confidence in our community, and also that others can have complete confidence as each one of us are as individuals. Amen.